Hello and welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 70, Summer Knitting. On this show, I sometimes talk about Grace, and she's my guardian angel. And this is an extra episode, I know, but I felt like putting one up this week. I'm still putting in stitches on that baby blanket, but Project Monogamy isn't my strong point lately. I went back to the Pride shawl, and that pattern gets a little bit weird. On chart 3, you have an edge, and then an increase section, and then a repeated lace portion, and then a bobble and cable portion, and then a mirror of the first edge. The bobble and cable happens over a different number of rows than the lace pattern. And out of nowhere, the pattern becomes a case of, okay, here's one edge, the increase section, and part of the lace repeat. You've done this over and over, so go figure the rest of the row out. Now, considering I've frogged the lifeline between 7, maybe 9 times already, this had me wondering if I didn't just want to feed this to a pack of hungry moths. 3 flaws with the plan. 1, the yarn is moth-proof. 2, the pattern is gorgeous. 3, I'd already put in so much work I wanted to see it to completion. Now, for an experienced lace knitter, this wouldn't have been a problem, but I've already said my lace knitting really needs work. So I grabbed chart 2 to work with, wrote ample notes, and muddled through it. I'm almost on the next chart, and that is complete and a lot easier. It's repeated, I think, 7 times, so I plan to photocopy it 7 times and mark off the lines as I go. Like I said, I'm not that good with lace. Then I cast on for a pair of socks, and this is in a heavy sport weight yarn, a tensile alpaca blend, and it works up on size 4 needles, which means it works up really fast, which means the leg, which is done by number of rows, hit about 9 inches before I wondered if this was sane. I weighed the leg and the yarn, and I left the needles in because that would make the leg read as heavier and then offer me a bit of a safety margin, and I can certainly finish. There's more than enough yarn left over. I just don't know how sane it is, but it should work. So it comes just before the calf shaping. So I'm going to go ahead with these huge socks, and at least they're going to be really warm for winter. The entire oversized leg took about 5 hours of knitting time altogether, so these are going to be done in a hurry. I found a very nice blog of online Bible studies at BibleSEO.com, and this week he had a very good article on angels and demons. Not the book, just angels and demons. It's at http://bibleseo.com/featured/angels-and-demons-biblical-perspective. I'll link in the show notes. It's worth looking at. If you're interested in an offbeat look at a post-rapture world, check out the new comic series from IDW called Sword of My Mouth. It's a 6-issue limited series, and issue 1 came out this week. Most comic stores should have it. It starts a bit slowly, but it's not a bad concept book. It's well drawn, and it's really unique in the way it's structured and the way the plot is put together. It's kind of a lot of fun. I found out that St. Paul's in New York has an online prayer request form, totally confidential, and I'm going to post a link to it in the show notes, and I'm probably going to have a permanent link to that in the sidebar. Spring has finally come to New York, just in time for summer. We haven't had those between seasons much these last few years. We get an extended winter and then summer, which turns into an extended summer and then a sudden winter. Spring and fall are just going away. So with summer around the corner, the knitting world goes into a state of semi-hibernation. I know a few people who do all their pleasure reading in summer and then all their knitting in winter. It's a low season for the craft. So I wanted to talk about a few projects that are appropriate for the hot weather. Now, you don't want anything heavy to sit under. This isn't the time for sweaters, blankets, or anything like that. Trust me, there was that time when I was doing a bulky weight merino sweater in August. I think I've lost my mind knitting that one. Anyway, socks. Socks are always good. Socks are small, portable, and wearable year-round. You can have nice cotton socks, short tennis socks, tabby socks, wore with sandals. I don't know why when they imported the idea of sandals from Japan, they didn't import the socks that go with them. It was just sort of an odd little skip there, but tabby socks. I don't know that you can get those commercially, but hand knit, they're a lot of fun. There's a few patterns on the web for them, and Knitty has a good pattern for them. Socks are a great project all the time. Shawls, stoles, and wraps are perfect for summer. It's good to have something light but warm to throw over your shoulders when the air conditioning is set to Siberia mode. And I do not understand why offices need to be 20 degrees colder in August than in December. Makes no sense. But a good shawl can help with this. Go with wool or a nice luxury fiber like Kvyat or cashmere for something airy and warm. Schoolproducts.com is a great source for cheap, high quality cashmere. Or if you're in New York, just check out their brick and mortar store in Midtown Manhattan. Mohair is good for shawls or wraps too, if you like to wear it next to the skin. I find it itchy. I think I've got an allergy to it. I just do not react well to it anymore. I love the way a nice airy shawl, a lace weight shawl, will fold up into practically nothingness in a purse. To be fair, I carry a really large purse. And then I'll unfold to something that can keep you so warm. For this, I avoid beaded shawls because I feel that the beads add quite a bit of bulk without adding any extra warmth. And I don't understand the idea of being too young for a shawl. I mean, even a child might find a bus, a subway, or a movie theater a bit chilly and want something to wrap up in. Simple or complex, a good shawl is a summertime must. Washcloths are fast and always useful. You can do all sorts of things with color work, design, and there are a lot of clever patterns out there. I like the fact that they're gauge-less patterns. And they're a lot of fun. The Unique Sheep sells kits for washcloths or soap sacks that come with the yarn, the pattern, and the soap. And they have a really cute pattern for a washcloth with a sheep on it. It was part of their Seven Deadly Spins Club, so if you're interested in that, it's at theuniquesheep.com and click on kits. Headbands are nice. My first project back in the days when I thought I knew just the knit stitch, but in reality knew just the purl stitch, was a garter stitch, or maybe reverse garter stitch, headband. And a garter stitch headband isn't a bad first project. It's a lot faster than the traditional scarf, and it lets students head straight into purling right away. The only disadvantage is that it requires the student learn to sew a seam. But that's not a bad thing to cover early on. Headbands can be done in lace, with beads, with cables, with color work, with all sorts of design elements, and they're so easy to design. You want a rectangle, somewhere between an inch and inch and a half, maybe even 2 inches wide and 16 inches long, and then you just go to town with anything that gets you near that. Bags are always useful. Knit Picks is showing off their new organic cotton with a kit that makes two market bags. I knit a Noro Crayon bag last year as my primary summer bag. Bags are all season, they're portable projects, and we always need more. Likewise, cases for anything from laptops to makeup, book covers, pouches, they're all fun to make and useful to have around. I wrote a pattern for a business card holder once that uses less than an ounce of hand-spun yarn. And I'll link to it in the show notes because it's fast, it's practical, and it's a nice little stash-busting project for summer. Like headbands, bookmarks are great for all skill levels. They're fast. They take leftover scraps from your stash. They're always practical. They're super easy to design. You get yourself a rectangle about an inch by 6 inches, and you're there. I'd like to say they're gageless. Technically, they're gageless, but I did once have a major gauge accident with a bookmark that ended up, I think, 3 inches wide by 16 inches long. Still, it wasn't bad for magazines. Hats and mittens are small. They don't sit on your lap, so they make great projects to knit in summer to wear in winter. And if you're a slow knitter like me, getting a head start isn't a bad idea. Wrist warmers are great for those overly air-conditioned offices to help keep some heat on your hands while you type. Jewelry is cute. Is there any metathesis going on in that word? Because it used to be jewelry, and that's how it's spelled, but it's becoming jewelry. The sounds are flipping in the middle. Sounds like metathesis affecting that word. Anyway, Point to Earth Fair is a great place to get beaded jewelry knitting projects. Her bead soup bracelet. She's got a bracelet. She's got all sorts of stuff. Lots of fun, cool things to work with. And eminently wearable. Squares for Warm Up America are fast. They're fun. They don't pile up on your lap. You can go to town with anything you want as long as it turns out the right size and send it in to be sewn with other squares to make blankets for people who really need them. Cable and lace one day, stockinette stitch the next. Whatever strikes your fancy, they can use it all. So, what do you knit in summer? Drop me a line at ivy@knitspirit.com or call the voice line and let me know. That should wrap us up for this time. Until next week, be blessed and keep knitting.